Hi. So I'm going to talk today about bedside ultrasound for hospitalists. I think, of all people, hospitalists are among the groups where bedside ultrasound integrated into their physical examination and daily rounds can make a huge impact on the quality of care that's given to all the ward patients. There's so many common pathologies where bedside ultrasound is immensely useful. So I'm just going to talk about a couple today. One of them is CHF. CHF is a hugely popular or common admission diagnosis. And more often than not, isn't optimally managed because people rely on distant surrogate endpoints for managing and planning discharge of their CHF patients. First of all, as everyone knows, CHF isn't really a diagnosis, it's a syndrome. It's a syndrome that includes a lot of different diagnoses: valvular heart disease, ischemic heart disease, cardiomyopathies, both restrictive, systolic, diastolic, etc., etc., etc. The common thing about all of them is that you end up with an elevated right atrial pressure, which results in congestion. Oftentimes that is caused by an elevated left atrial pressure that's transmitted through the lungs, and that results in pulmonary edema as well as the rest of the general edema that we find from the right atrium downwards, let's say. So how does bedside ultrasound help? Well, first of all, bedside ultrasound is going to help you initially establish the reason behind the congestive heart failure syndrome. And secondly, it's going to help you manage it. It's going to help you dose your diuretic therapy, because fundamentally what we are dosing with is, sure, to decrease peripheral edema, to decrease the weight, but we all know how accurate weight on the wards is. But mostly in this case, we want to see a return of the inferior vena cava to a normal size with a normal respiratory variation. Because even people with congestive failure of any sort can go back down to that normal state. Or at least most of them, until they're right at the end stage. And they really benefit from getting to that versus getting some fluid taken off and then being discharged because they look kind of okay, and then being back really soon. There was a really good study that was done on that, showing how basically if you didn't get your IVCs down below 20 millimeters, your rate of readmission was exceedingly high in the ensuing weeks, which makes total sense. It's really difficult to decide how much fluid to take off by just looking at peripheral fluid removal, is, you know, how much less edema there is, or just by clearing of the lungs. It doesn't really tell you quite as much as knowing that you're no longer on your flat part of Frank Starling's curve, really tight and overflowing everything that every extra little bit of fluid that's on board. So that's one very practical aspect, being able to monitor your IVC until you're down to an adequate amount. That is, if the condition is a chronic condition that cannot be fixed. Obviously, if you've gotten into CHF and you've found your flail leaflet or your big aortic disease of some kind or other, then you know you've gone on to something else to treat and manage that condition. Other common things: renal failure, acute renal failure. There's always that debate: could it be post-renal, is it pre-renal, etc., etc. That all takes a grand total of about 22 seconds to figure out. You look at the IVC, right there you'll know if it's pre-renal or not. If it's totally, totally empty, it's possibly pre-renal. Give him some fluids and we'll see. Then you take a quick peek at your kidneys. If there's no hydro, and that takes about 5 seconds per side, there's no hydronephrosis. It's not obstructive. And then at the same time that you look at your IVC for a severe pre-renal state, if you've seen a fat completely unmoving IVC, well, there's a chance that your renal failure is actually post-renal. It's in the sense of a congestive renal failure that needs diuresis to improve. And you've just also noted that you have CHF, and that may be the problem. That may have tipped the kidneys over, the kidneys that were already a little bit weak. Taking a look at the bladder, you might find the cause for the obstructive renal failure. So all this takes seconds, as opposed to ordering something, waiting for it till the next day, maybe not getting it right away, muddling about with giving fluids to someone who doesn't need any, etc., etc. So just right there, you've got a couple of really, really common pathologies. And we can get into lung pathologies as to how handy it is to be able to see whether a whiteout and a chest x-ray is, collapsed consolidated lung, or is there a big effusion in there? If you don't have a CT scan, it sometimes can be hard to tell. I've been surprised. People were sure it was a big effusion, but no, it's all consolidated. Or people were convinced it was consolidated, but oops, it's a huge effusion. Very, very tough to tell on conventional chest films. You might see that by the texture of the effusion. Ooh, this really has got a lot of echogenicity to it in someone with a pneumonia. Well, it's something you might want to tap sooner than later before the empyema gets really serious and you just notice it 3 days down the line as a patient hasn't defervesced and continues to be ill. So these are just some of the examples of why hospitalists, general internists, and a lot of the consultants could really benefit from using bedside ultrasound, from integrating it into their daily routine, not just this test that has a specific indication to be done. My indication to do bedside ultrasound, by and large, is the presence of a patient in front of me. If there's a patient, probably needs a rapid bedside ultrasound assessment. Keeping in mind that I don't see too many twisted ankles and headaches or psychiatric histories, but partly you might still need to do bedside ultrasound. I just don't know how to look at tendons and things like that with ultrasound very well, unlike some of the ER guys who are really good at that. Anyways, that's a wrap. That's just my word on why everyone who's taking care of hospitalized patients should be able to do basic bedside ultrasound. All right, have a good night.